Welcome back to Citywide Blackout, your home for music, movies, and more. I'm your host, Max Bowen. This episode is all about what's new. New sound, new styles, and new plans. First up, it's the UK-based country duo Adele and Andy. They've got a new EP out, Where I Belong, and we talk about the new things they're trying. We also look at their origins and what led them to make the leap into music. And joining me now, they have a brand new EPL called Where I Belong. I am joined by the UK-based country duo, husband and wife, Adele and Andy. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Hi.
Hi, it's great to be here.
I am absolutely loving the album, by the way. I've listened to it a bunch of times. I actually listened to Watch Over You as well to kind of get a feel for the styles, and I just love the new music.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really nice. I mean, they're very different. To give you an idea, so the Watch Over You album really is where we started, and I think it was only when we got towards the end of the album that people said to us, you know, you really need to have more of a bit of a country sort of genre going on. So we took a step back and decided that we were going to go down a route that was far more country, really, to suit Adele's voice and our songwriting, really. And it's been really good. We've really enjoyed it, both listening to other country artists and obviously doing this for ourselves.
Yeah, I really got that because, like, your first album has a bit more of, like, a folk vibe to it. And like you said, with the second one, it's a lot more country. It's got a little more of that twang. It's like a little bit of rock into it, too.
Yeah.
In doing this, though, did you have to more or less, like, rebuild yourselves in terms of your sound and like, how you played?
We did, yeah. Mm. I think lockdown was a big help for us because we were gigging and stuff so much, unfortunately, we weren't concentrating as much as we would have liked to on our music. So when we went into lockdown, it allowed us to go, right, let's just reevaluate this because we're not 100% happy with where we want to be, so we need to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think we turned it around as a positive, really, and yeah. I think we saw it as an opportunity to learn, if you like, from the first album. And Because we'd only been doing, I mean, bear in mind, we've only been doing it for a couple of years, so it was a good opportunity to say, well, what have we learned from it? You know, what things could we do better? And I think by listening to a lot of other country artists, you start to go, I like that sound. That sounds really good, and I can really hear that sort of resonating with some of the stories that we want to tell. So yeah, it was a good move.
I've heard more often than not that for artists, the lockdown was actually a good thing because they got time to either learn something new or focus entirely on their work or just try some like new stuff because suddenly they had all this time. You know, like you said, the gigs stopped. So it's been kind of cool that artists, despite, you know, having so much taken away, have been able to get a lot back out of this whole experience.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you allowed yourself to get down about it, then, you know, we all like playing gigs and it's a really important part, but, you know, I think it's important that when things like this happen that you do actually focus and say, well, let's turn it around as an opportunity, which is clearly what we've done. And it's been great to, you know, to write some of the songs that we've done. We've enjoyed the live streams. We've done a lot of live streams and that interaction on, you know, by doing live streams, particularly as we've just moved on to Twitch as well, which is a bit more friendly community. I think that's really helped us to engage with far more people than we would have done if we'd have been doing gigs.
I did not know that you were also on Twitch. How did that come about?
Yeah,
we saw, so there's a guy called DC Brown, and he does a lot on Facebook promoting other artists. He's a massive, massive supporter, and he's done so much to help us. He does streams, he does writers rounds, or people just perform on their own on the channel. And he was the one that said, I've moved over to Twitch. And then we kept seeing it pop up and we were like, let's go and see what this is about. And it's just so nice on there.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot more intimate. I think your supporters can get to know you better, especially ours. Ours is very laid back. If anybody knows us, they know. But rather than like streaming on Facebook and going, this is our song list for tonight, so you have to just put up with what we want, so you can actually go, request a song. We have a song list, choose what you want to hear. Mm. It's just really nice.
The big difference for me is that everybody that comes on Twitch is, I mean, I know there's a lot of gamers on there, but you know, people are music people that want to come and watch a concert. They're not Facebook people who go, oh, I've just seen that some music on, I'll just go and have a look what they're like. Actually, now I'm just going to have a look at a load of posts of somebody else. The people are on there, they're genuine music people that want to come to a concert. So it's really good.
Plus, there are artists on there as well that I haven't even heard of on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's nice to get to, and as soon as you pop on, they're like, hi, how are you?
Yeah, it's
like,
very
you've
friendly.
Known them for years, and it's so lovely.
Yeah.
Very cool. Are most of your viewers on Twitch like from the area, or are you finding that the fan base has grown?
No, it's.
We were talking to someone from Maine.
Yes.
From the other night, weren't
we? Yeah, we were, because I've always said I'd love to go and live in Maine, because it's just so, like, it's, you know, it's like autumn over here, you know, leaves and it's beautiful. And I was saying to them, they went, yeah, come over, you know. So yeah, it's a different subset of people, definitely. And so it's a way of getting your music heard. You know, I think our vision in life is to get our music heard as much as we can, you know, in all different parts of the world. And that is, I mean, we're very new to it, very early. So, you know, we've not got a lot of followers, but it is gaining momentum. And, you know, we're looking forward to the journey that gives us, you know, a lot more followers.
Do you think you'll keep doing it once everything kind of ratchets like back to normal?
I think so, yeah. More because of our own circumstances, really. So we have a little boy who's six. So that limits the opportunities that we've got to, you know, move around the country.
We both work as well. Like, I've got my own business and you've got your job. So it's...
Yeah. So I think we will continue. I mean, I want to get out and do gigs. Yeah, definitely. But I think our gigs will be, you know, we'll do a lot fewer gigs than other people, if you like, who are in the same community as us. So.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I've heard about that still kind of surprises me is like the UK country scene. I always thought country was like an American thing. It was, but what is the UK country scene like?
I think it's very diverse. There's so much. There's like country rock, country soul, country pop. There's
folk,
many different styles. However, it's all obviously your storytelling. Sorry, I like getting words out.
No, it's okay. Go for it.
No, go on.
You know, if you think about the UK, the UK is equal to a state in America, you know. So it's a very small community that we're in. And within the UK, really, there are a couple of different pockets of you know, Manchester, for example, is quite pronounced, Bristol. And everybody knows everybody, and it's very, you know, it's very family orientated. And I think once you're in that family, and it's quite hard, like every getting into communities, but once you're in it, you know, it's quite friendly. But yeah, as Adele says, I think it's quite diverse, really. You know, listening to the American scene, there's, you know, it's quite heavily influenced by a certain group of people or a particular sound, a Nashville sound, if you like. Whereas over here, you know, it's a lot different. And I'd be interested to get your feedback on our music to see whether you feel that it is a lot different than the US stuff.
That's a good question, because country comes in different flavors here too. You've got stuff that you've got the more country rock stuff, so it's like a lot more intense, very like passionate. But then you've got the more like country folk stuff, which is a lot more mellow. It's chill. You've got the country pop. I definitely think that your style would fit in very well over here, actually, especially particularly in the area where I live, which has a large Americana scene, a large like folk rock scene. So in terms of the style, yeah, I think I definitely think it could find a home over here. So come over here, play some shows.
Yeah.
Run away.
Yeah. Right. Well, we're almost at the point where we can actually have shows back. You know, we're kind of like little by little getting there. But I also want to ask, like, in your area, have shows come back in any kind of format, or is it still just everything? No,
I think
the schools have only just opened back up here.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm saying it's going to be
June, July sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So prior to all this, how often did you get to gig?
We were gigging weekly. Yeah, we were. Yeah, but it was very much on a small scale, really. So it was more sort of bars, and you know, not if we get back out now, I think we'd, you know, given the progress that we've made, ideally we'd be looking at sort of bigger festivals, and so yeah, we would do it a lot less, and hopefully some bigger gigs is ideally where we'd like to be.
I can't wait to go and watch some gigs as well.
Yeah,
because it'd be nice. We absolutely love our rock music. We do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'd be nice to actually get out and watch other people as well.
Yeah, I love all like the little things about like going to a show, like. Like you go in, you check like the merch table, you get your beer, you wait for like the show to start. All those like little parts of like going to a show. You look for your friends. Like, yeah, there's so much to miss about like going to shows. I cannot wait for them to come back.
Yeah, the last show I went to was, funnily enough, was in Boston, just outside of Boston.
Oh, cool.
I saw Metallica in just outside of Boston. It was fantastic. Jealous. It was brilliant.
Ugh. Damn, dude, very jealous, very jealous. Oh my god! But that is a really good way to kind of like end the gigging thing before all this happens. It's a good tone to kind of like end off on. So when it comes to like recreating your style, did you find yourself entering a whole new world in terms of like the places you want to play and the bands that you're kind of connecting with?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm. In terms of vocally, I don't think it's massively different, really. And in terms of the storytelling side of it, again, I don't think it's massively different. I think where it is different is the different types of instruments. You know, we certainly wouldn't have been playing banjos and, you know, slide guitar and cellos and all the rest of it before, would we, really? So I think that's the big difference. And then, of course, you know, there's
It's made us go as well when we get back out gigging. It's made us go, oh, we should get a band.
Yeah, as opposed to being a duo. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's our intention.
Now, you mentioned the banjo and the slide guitar. Did you play those before, or did you have to teach yourself that?
No. To be fair, the guy that does the production actually plays banjo on the track. So it's something that I do want to do. It would be really cool to be able to do that. But
he mentioned it the other night. It's like, is it hard to play banjo? And it was, how many strings does a banjo got? And I thought, oh, another guitar in the house.
Yeah. So we've gone all through the acoustic, electric, bass, you know, pedals,
cajons.
We've been all through that, and now it's like, well, okay, I need to play banjo, and then I might just go on to, you know, violin after that, so to do something. Yeah.
That's the thing, you know, you get one instrument down, it's like, okay, what else can I do? I should learn this, I should learn the cello, yeah. I should learn the accordion, or what have you. It's always some new thing.
It would be great, to be fair. Yeah,
I'm a dab hand on the recorder.
Yeah. But yeah, we're thoroughly enjoying it at the moment, and you know, the feedback that we've had on Where I Belong, the EP, has been, you know, we managed to get it to, I think it peaked at number 3, was it, in the iTunes country chart, and you know, and it's charted in the hot disc charts, you know, No More Goodbyes, Misty Eyes, you know, got to number 2 in the British and Irish hot disc chart. So you know, we're getting some really good feedback, and I think it's, you know, I think when you look back, we definitely made the right move.
You talked about the storytelling being very different. What's the story with this album?
Right, okay, so we've got 4 tracks, and at the start of it, I suppose, so Adele wrote the first track, Misty Eyes, and we wrote that some time ago. And
The first track that we released,
yeah, Misty Eyes. And yeah, there was a backstory to that, which really was about the idea of a young girl. It started off being a young girl who had this fairy tale idea of romance and relationships. And as many of us have found out, you know, it's not often like that, you know, the things happen. And I think, you know, I think what you were trying to get across was all the emotions, wasn't it, that people go through in terms of, you know, sort of anger and grief and
say, basically saying, I can see you for who you are now, and comes out the other side of it like wiser and stronger.
Yeah. So that kind of got me thinking, well, how can I, how can I, what can I do to kind of like have a collective theme across all four tracks? So Where I Belong, the title track, was me really sort of reflecting on my life before I met Adele and some of the things that were going on. And I think, you know, the story behind that is really you can't really be happy in your life until you've reached some of the depths of despair that you've been in, and you can learn from those, you know, those things that happen to you, make you value your life more when you're back being happy. So that kind of like cemented itself again in a relationship way. And then we thought, well, let's tell the story of how we met. And No More Goodbyes really is about when we first met. So we met as friends, really. Adele worked behind a bar and I was a customer. And there was a lot of barriers to us getting together. And so we had to say goodbye many, many times. And we'd meet again and then get a little bit further. And eventually we got together. So it tells the story of that. And then, of course, Echoes of the Forest was a real sort of left field kind of story. And I always wanted to write a story that got a bit of a metaphor behind it. So I was reading a book about a dog that got snatched in the middle of the night. And he lived in this really idyllic place with his master in the south of America, and really had this wonderful life. Would sit by the fire, you know, and go for walks and be on this big farm. And then he was snatched by hunters and was made to work as a working dog pulling a sleigh, and had to fight for survival through the forest with other dogs who were vying to be top dog and all the rest of it. And at the end of it, he gets to the point where he's been beaten and he's conquered all these things, but actually he's getting older and he's retired. He returns to this life where he is back reunited, not necessarily with the same family, but in a house that, and he can't deal with it because he's had all this fun and excitement and all this fight. And what I'm trying to say really in the story is that, you know, the only, again, lots of us live in this comfort zone, and sometimes you need to get out of it and experience what's going on in the world. And if you do that, you probably won't go back to where you come from. So that was the kind of metaphor story behind it. And I kind of hope that all that connected in terms of, you know, the relationship issues and, you know, changes to your life.
Oh, yeah. I get that. I definitely get that. Especially the whole comfort zone thing, because I feel like a lot of folks get stuck in the rut, but they like it. It's a nice familiar thing. But then there's something kind of like knocks them out of it. 9 times out of 10, they're like, I'm glad it happened because I didn't even know what I wasn't seeing.
Yeah.
That's how I feel like about singing now, because I wanted to do it for so long, and because of my anxiety, I didn't. And then I did it. But the thought of going back to not doing it anymore, I kind of go, no, I couldn't do that. I like that I've stepped out of my comfort zone and I've done it now.
Now, did the two of you do music prior to forming the duo?
No. You sang, but not really.
I sang to myself. I used to sing on an app called Smule. That's how it started, but nobody knew about it until it slipped.
Found its way into my palm.
Yeah.
At some point.
It found it. And it just went from there, really. But no.
Yeah. So no, we hadn't, and basically we got Adele up singing in a few open mics, and
then I told you to
that start learning to play the guitar, and yeah, so it was like 20 hours a week nonstop to get really to a level where I could actually get out there and
Echoes of the Forest.
Yeah.
Remember, I can remember his first. The bravery that this man has is ridiculous, because how many weeks, 3 weeks after picking up a guitar?
It wasn't much longer than that.
It must have been 3 or 4 weeks after he picked up a guitar. He went, I'm going to an open mic, and performed, and it was...
dreadful.
Oh, it was like when someone can't play a violin. That's yeah. What it was like.
But I got a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Because I got through to the end of the song, and people realise, you know... the host actually got up and said, this guy's been playing guitar for 3 or 4, and I got a standing ovation. And at that point you go, do I give up? And it was like, no, because Adele wants to do this. And actually I want to do it as well. So I'm gonna play for 20 hours a week until my fingers bleed. And then, eventually I'll get there.
Wow. I am blown away by this. This is a really great story. This is so cool. So you met, you got married, you formed a duo kind of out of nowhere. What was the biggest challenge to just making this work? To like
your challenges, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, I suffer with anxiety really, really bad. Like I have days where I will struggle to leave the house. But I've said it once tonight, I'll say it again. Here's my spine. Here's my backbone.
I mean, there's lots of people who get bullied or in abusive relationships and are made to feel like they can't do anything. And sadly, that's how Adele felt, when we met. And, I think that whilst our relationship was very, very strong, I think it only got stronger because I knew what it meant to her to do that, and there was no way I was not, having heard her sing, you've heard her sing, she's a fairly decent singer, so there was no way that wasn't happening to me. So I had to, there was lots of reassurance, and there are times where you question yourself, but happily, we've had some fantastic support from a lot of people, who believe in what we do, and, happily, it seems to be paying dividends.
I would say so, definitely. Now, Adele, when it came to being up on stage and singing, how did you deal with the anxiety? How were you able to keep that from stopping you from singing?
Well, when I first went up on a stage and started to sing, that was the result of going to an open mic for 12 weeks in a row and not getting up. And Andy and the guy who ran it, Paul Walker, was never pushed me. They just went, are you ready? Are you ready? And eventually I was like, I think I'm ready now. I was like a little piece of cardboard with my shoulders up by my ears, with my phone in my hand, with my words on. And I sang and I did it. And I went.
And it was fantastic.
I went, I've done that.
I can even remember the song. It was Make You Feel My Love by Adele.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like the whole, you get into a room and everybody like is just chattering away and just minding their own business and just because we went into that pub, people knew us as two people that went into the pub. And then obviously Adele's gone up to sing and everybody's like, I didn't know she could sing. Carried on talking, and then the room just went quiet, and you kind of just, it's one of those hairs on the back of your neck time, you just go like, oh my God, she's done it, it was 8.
I still have moments like where I struggle now. Like one of the last gigs we did before we went into lockdown, like the first time, I looked at Andy after the first song and I was like, my legs are going to give way. I was like, my knees were absolutely buckling, but I know I've got in there and I know I can. Looking at people, but I'm not looking at people.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I mean, there are certain songs, aren't there?
I've got comfort songs.
So there. I know if Adele's not quite there, I know to revert back to a certain song, or I know not to play a part of a certain song, or I know that, I take the guitar off and I'll just play, or whatever it needs to happen, happens, which you wouldn't get with somebody who didn't understand it. So, that's my role really is to kind of like
be my spine,
work out what needs to happen and when it needs to happen. And happily now, 95 times out of 100, you're fine. I think you still got the nerves every now and again, but I think generally speaking, if you're watching her, you wouldn't even know. Nobody would know that there was an issue there at all, but there is.
I couldn't get it at all from the music. I mean, I was listening to you singing, and I was like amazed. Like, your voice is phenomenal when it comes to singing, phenomenal stuff. So I never would have guessed in a million years you had any kind of anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Again, if you came onto Twitch and watched, you would see, again, you would see somebody who just looked like they were having fun and was absolutely fine. And I think more often than not, you are. But every now and again, something will just happen that will make you question yourself, won't they?
Yeah.
You know, you can sing 21 songs perfectly well and make a mess of one, and all of a sudden you could crumble.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, so that's when we have to revert to a kind song.
I get you. Do you feel like you're set with your style right now, or are you? Is this more of like an experimentation and you're going to see what you might shift to next?
I think we're set. The one thing that we're unsure of is, we touched on this earlier, so, you know, there are people that will say that we are not country enough, and particularly in the UK, and I think it's more of a problem in the UK than it is or would be in the States, because I think in the States you just get accepted as being slightly different, whereas in the UK I think sometimes you have to sound American, you know, you have to sound like it's a kind of Nashville sound, and if not, sometimes you could be possibly not taken as seriously as you might be. So I think a style is set. Whether at some point somebody actually goes, you're kind of country, but not really. You've wandered back into something else. That might happen, and I'm happy with that. I don't mind where we sit in terms of, you know, where people want to label us, because I'm happy with the music that we produce. We enjoy the music and we love it. So it's fine. People can make their own.
Our aim is that, like, we just tell stories, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. And if those stories can help people either to, you know, to make them feel better about themselves or to help them understand more about themselves, that's what it's for us. You know, we want it's helped Adele. We want it to help other people.
So now that you've got the new album out, what is next for you? Do you think you're going to be working on another album, learn some more instruments? What's next for you?
So we've written three songs.
We have. We've
written three songs. They're done. When I say they're done at the stage where we can take one of them has actually been recorded. And about 10 minutes before we came on, I was talking to him, just seeing how he was getting on with it. So I think that's ready to come back to us and go for being to be mastered. I don't know whether we'll wrap it up into a whether we'll
I think
do...
that one. I think the one that we're currently working on is going to be a single.
Yes, definitely.
It just because we absolutely love it.
It's going to be
blowing our own trumpets. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's definitely our best track so far. The one that's going to come out next. Yeah, and I think I don't think it's just us. I think other people have said the same. You know, I think it's really going to be what we're most proud of.
Okay.
So that's going to come out probably in May, and then we'll either do another EP or we may do an album. I'm not sure. We might even release a couple of singles and then do it. But, you know, whatever happens, we want to keep this momentum going because, you know, it's what we're enjoying doing. And I think now that we've managed to make the progress that we have, I think we want to keep it going. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to retreat backwards. So.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Now, when you started this, did you think it would go as far as it has, where you've got like two albums out, people are talking about you, you're getting all these cool reviews, played on all these different stations?
Never.
No.
We never thought we'd get where we were. We had an expectation of where we wanted to be, but looking at it now, we've gone past it, and we've kind of gone, oh, we've done it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, my personal view of Adele's voice is that it can go, there is no limit on where it can go. I just think it's good enough to be amongst anybody. That's my personal view. As long as we can keep coming up with the stories and we can keep putting, you know, the production right, and then, you know, we may well go, you know, a lot further. I think we're happy where we are at the moment, and I think, as we said, you know, we want to make people happy. We want our music to get out as far as we can. Where that leads us, I don't know. But we're loving it. That's all I can say at the moment.
I just want to go back a little bit before we go to the country scene in the UK. I'm always curious to learn about other music scenes. So what are some of the other bands in your area that you think people should be looking out for?
As in terms of who they might be?
Yeah.
there's a lady called Kezia Gill, who is phenomenal. She is unbelievable, and she's probably one of the most talked about people. She is the song that she did called Wings. Seriously, go and check that out. It is unbelievable. There are many, many. You know, there are some great duos. We love Between the Vines, don't we?
Yeah.
Who are absolutely brilliant.
She's got a stunning voice, hasn't she?
She has, yeah. You know.
Gareth Heeson.
Yeah, but there's...
I like his voice.
He's great. Katie Hurt. You know, there are Jade Halliwell. There are a lot of good, you know, UK country artists. And what's interesting, I think the most interesting thing is, it's very female dominated, where if you look at the US, I think it's probably the other way around.
It depends what genre specifically. I think if you look at the more folk stuff, there's a lot more female artists there. But I believe you're right. When it comes to the more countryside, it's a lot more male dominated. Definitely. There is some female representation there, but not a lot. It's definitely not even out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
I think there's a lot
of us women around.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. All right. Adele, Andy, great talking to you. Loved learning about the stories out behind the music. But where do folks go if they want to learn more about you and check out your stuff?
So if they want to come and join us on a live stream, we're on Twitch every Wednesday and every Sunday at 9 p.m.
9 p.m., which is 4 hours. That's about 5 your time, 5 p.m. And that's a good place to come because there's a lot of interaction there. You can get to talk to us and request songs. But we're on all the socials as well, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, pretty much all Adele and Andy. Spotify.
iTunes.
Yeah, so you can't miss us. Can't miss us.
And you don't want to.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, folks, it's break time. Kick back and relax with Adele and Andy's new single, Misty Eyes. After that, I'm talking with Brandon Stoner from the band Thieves and Lovers. It's been about a year since we last talked, and in that time, they've released some great new singles.
Till the very end, but you out of the plans. Thought you could have your way and leave it, and kept on repeating. Somehow I was blind, about to lose my mind. Left me battered and bruised, left me broken and used. No time for goodbyes, cause I could finally see what was behind your misty
Hey, this is singer-songwriter and mental health advocate Stephanie Mathias. Be sure to check out my single Hero Side, available on all platforms now, and listen to Citywide Blackout, your home for the best indie artists.
And joining me now, well, you last heard about him last January, actually, right before all everything changed. I am joined by Brandon Stoner. He is the guitarist and vocalist for the band Thieves and Lovers. Brandon, welcome back. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you for having me back.
It's been quite the year. It's been quite the year for everyone.
I didn't know that we had spoken just, I didn't remember that we had spoken just before the world ended. So
yeah. And I was like, I remember I was checking out your site and I saw the list of like past shows from like the October prior, I think, the November prior. I thought, oh man, I miss those days. It's like, going to shows and seeing live music has become such a foreign concept now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this has been the first year that I haven't played any shows since I was probably 17, and I'm twice that now. So it's been definitely a transition.
Yeah. So I'm curious what you had planned for 2020 before everything changed.
We were really, really ready to hit it hard. Things were going really well. The momentum had picked up and we were just trying to build on the previous year. But life had other plans.
Yeah. Where we are, we've just allowed, venues to open, but I think it's still gonna be a while before actual shows happen. So I'm kind of eagerly awaiting the news that, oh, so-and-so shows has been booked, 'cause I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. Likewise. I mean, one of the things that's kind of been concerning me is, you know, even if the venues are open and events are happening, like when are people, the audience, going to feel comfortable putting themselves in that kind of situation again?
Yeah, I would say probably when they get their shots, you know, I mean, I think when they get that protection, I think they'll feel a little better about it.
I'd like to hope so.
Yeah, and I know there's been like a lot of talk on my end among my friends. Like there's some who said even though places are open, they're not going to go. Like they're not going to go to a show. They're not going to play. There's just that concern over getting sick, or worse, getting other people sick. Because I don't think any band wants to be associated with an event that got like 20 people sick, and then like someone died, and two others are on like the respirator or something like that.
Exactly.
So are you making like a lot of plans for this year, or are things still too up in the air to really make that possible?
Yeah, that's a good question. Things are really, they really are still up in the air. Where I'm located, I can get to four states within about 20 minutes, and they're all very different, you know, politically and in terms of reopening. So it's kind of been tough. You know, I live in Pennsylvania, and Pennsylvania has been one of the more tighter lockdown states. We've had a lot of cases, but you know, obviously we're one of the more populous states. So, you know, I think that goes hand in hand, but we're kind of getting back on the sort of the path to seeing maybe what things are looking like later in the year. But for right now, yeah, there's nothing on the books. Just kind of waiting it out. I mean, still a year later.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I do not think we'd be here a year later. I really thought it would be like a month or so, maybe two, and then everything just kind of like, you know, settles back. But yeah, a solid year.
Yeah, when I was told to work from home, I was like, yeah, 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks became a month, and then a month became 8 months. And, you know, so it's really unfortunate.
It is.
And I mean, I feel so much for the people that I, you know, fortunately I did, my grandfather died from COVID, but he had many other health complications, and I really feel for all the people. I mean, what is it, 530,000 now or something? So
yeah,
there really aren't any words.
Yeah. I mean, other than to, you know, social distance, wear your fucking mask, get your shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, yeah, and
like, where I live, there's a lot of people that are, you know, quote anti-maskers, and it's just like, I just don't understand the concept of being so obstinate to like perpetuating like public health and public safety. Like, it just, it doesn't make sense to me to politicize it, but that's all I'll say on the topic.
Yeah, exactly. You know what, then let's move on, because even though you guys have not been able to do shows, you have been producing us new music. You released last Valentine's Day, you released your new single Stolen, which was actually kind of a sign of change within the band, because it kind of gave people a look as to the new direction that you were going with, something that was more heavier. What led to this change with the music?
I mean, it was kind of always there. I feel like it was sort of a natural evolution. We actually released a song, I think it was back in November, called Conversations Kill, which is sort of a perpetuation of that idea. But, you know, we had sort of been doing the acoustic thing for a while, the acoustic rock, Tom Petty style, then did an alt, like sort of an alt country album, which was super fun and actually got a really good response. But, yeah, I just like to keep things, evolving.
That's cool. That's cool. Do you think that this is kind of like a settled place for the band musically, or do you see like more changes coming down the road?
I'm always open to change. I think that it's a good spot for us. I think that it's a good niche. It's definitely fun from the guitar aspect, you know, being able to integrate more effects and make things a little more lush and sort of ambient.
Experimentation time for the band to kind of try all these new things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I guess, you know, silver linings, looking back at the past year, there's been a lot of time to experiment. Yeah.
That's the thing that I hear a lot from folks, is that the past year they've kind of decided to make the most of it. And so for a lot of folks have built their own studios. They've released entire albums out during this time. So it's kind of cool to see that, at least for the creative folks, this year hasn't totally like squelched that. They've been able to, you know, get back up and get back to work, basically.
Yeah, and admittedly, I wasn't as like songwriting goes. I wasn't, you know, I kind of went through that funk that everybody did, being stuck at home, and every day is just a rinse and repeat of the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I didn't sort of seize it as much as I could have, but you know, I tried to stay positive and productive.
Yeah, but then again, I think if the energy is not there, it's just not there. I'm sure like a lot of folks had to go through kind of a downtime, especially for folks who had so much planned for the year. Like, they would have tours planned and releases planned, and all that just evaporates. And especially when it became clear, I think, that there was just not really an end in sight last year. I can see why it kind of drove like a lot of folks down, because it was like before, like if we knew for a fact this would be done and over with in say June, then that's easier to take because you can plan for that. You can plan for like after June, but when the end is, well, we don't know, that kind of like makes it harder.
Yeah. And I actually reconnected with someone I had been pretty close to. He's in a band called The Seventh Season, crazy good guitar player. And we've sort of been texting back and forth the past couple of days, and he was asking me, "Hey man, what are you working on?" And I sort of like, you know, laid it out to him like, "Hey man, like I've been trying to keep up, but dude, the spark is just, it's like an ember. It used to be a fire. Now it's like an ember." And he responded, and he's like, "Dude, I've been going through the same thing." So, I mean, it's good to know that I'm not alone, and you know, he's not alone, but things are definitely starting to, you know, come back into sync and become normal, or whatever normal is now.
Yeah, they're trying to come back. Now, in your case, getting that spark going again, was there something that happened, or is it just you kind of got tired of just sitting around?
Yeah, it was more, yeah, I just got fed up with, you know, sitting around. And one of the things that contributed to to the, I guess, the lack of inspiration was that I really do like get, you know, creative ideas and sparks from going out and playing shows and going out and living my life. And, you know, I went to dinner with my friend one day and I met this girl, and it's just like living everyday life can really inspire you. And like, none of us have been able to do that the past year.
Where are you finding your inspiration now?
I'm pretty much drawing on past experience and sort of revisiting song ideas and lyrics and things that I've had sitting around sometimes for maybe a decade. Because, you know, like we had said, things are still, at least here, things are still kind of as they were, starting to slowly change. But it's actually been cool to go back and, you know, go to old recordings and demos and seeing which ones actually sort of stood the test of time. And especially like ones that I worked on in college, some of it's really good, some of it's really bad, but it's definitely given me a sort of a renewed perspective.
How so?
Well, I guess, I mean, it, more so in terms of like, I was in such a certain headspace the past year, and so it sort of took me back to where I was when I came up with that stuff. And it sort of just gave me like a little kick in the butt. And, you know, things will, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn, to, you know, to be cliche. So just trying to ride that until, you know, maybe some new inspiration comes along.
I get you, man. I get you. Well, let's talk about the more recent single that you put out, Conversations Kill, that was released back in November. Mm-hmm. Tell me the story behind this song.
So it's really kind of about the point in a romantic relationship where it's over, but neither party has acknowledged that, at least not consciously. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I obviously can't speak for everybody, but sometimes there's things that are said, like vitriolic things that you don't really mean, but things are just so bad at that point that, you know, arrows are flying. And it's about my ex-wife and thinking about some, you know, conversations that we had toward the end of our entanglement. And that actually is a brand new song that came about. I mean, I had the verse riff for a little bit, maybe before COVID, but that was one that was pretty much entirely created during COVID. And again, going back to that, drawing inspiration from past experiences as opposed to, you know, new ones.
Were you at all like hesitant about it? Were you all thinking maybe I shouldn't reveal this, you know, part of my life to the whole world?
No, not really. I mean, I always like to, you know, as a songwriter, like to, I don't want to say romanticize things, because that's sort of, I mean, I guess it kind of is. It's idealistic, and it's sort of a, like a slice of life, but like surreal, I guess. If I put in the actual conversation into the lyrics, we'd have to get an explicit content sticker.
Ah, I see. What was the reaction when you released this, especially from people who kind of know your story?
It was actually pretty good. I mean, the song has sort of like a pop punk, more of like a driving kind of like radio rock kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. It was tough to, because we get a lot of play on like college radio, and, you know, school wasn't in session, so that vertical is out. And then, you know, everybody was dealing with this, and the response was different, but not because of the material. Just because of, you know, everybody was dealing with things in their own way.
This is a question that I've been asking a lot of folks because of what's going on. But what's been like releasing music at a time when you can't do the normal things, like go out and play and do like a single release show and things like that?
It's been difficult. It's been difficult for a band like us that's up and coming. You know, we live on live shows. Not even revenue wise, just, you know, making fans and meeting people and making networking, making connections. And I've never released anything where that wasn't an option. So, I mean, we kind of just had to roll with it.
Exactly. Just kind of like, you know, put it out there, do the other social medias, and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually also been using this time to sort of, you know, contact record labels and publishing companies and management companies and trying to maybe assemble a team that can, you know, so when we actually can get out there and pound the pavement, there's more of an infrastructure to help, you know, help us do it more successfully.
Any luck there?
Yeah, definitely. More so on the management side, but you know, they're all like, you know, we're good, but we have to wait and kind of see, because I mean, like I said, I don't like you, or sorry, like you said, you know, it's not just about the safety of the self. It's about the safety of other people. And when are they going to feel comfortable? And, you know, cause you go to a concert to escape from daily life, to have a good time, to enjoy this art form. And, you can't really do that if you're, you know, if you're worried about catching a deadly virus.
Yeah, it definitely kind of dampens the mood. It definitely does. I definitely, man. Yeah, I gotta be honest. Like if there were like shows happening right now, I don't think I could make myself go. I think I'd be just too worried. Like, oh, wait a minute. Is this okay? Did that dude just like cough on me? You know, there's just so much unknown. I just would be like, yep, nope, going home.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to keep up with, cause like even more so than playing shows, like I want to go support other people and, other artists. And, I've been keeping tabs on some of my favorite bands and some of the, maybe the bands that I've just discovered, trying to find out, you know, if they're playing. And some of them have like spring tours planned, but it's like, I feel like that's probably jumping the gun a little bit. I know that, I mean, I don't admittedly don't make all of my revenue from my income from music. But I have friends that do, and they're just completely, or they've been completely like lost, you know, because they're professional touring musicians or crew, and it's been rough for them. And I really do feel for them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've definitely talked to some folks, on the show that they had just like months and months of gigs lined up, and this was their 9-to-5. This was how they paid their bills, and it's how they kept food on the table. And all of a sudden, that was just wiped off completely. And now they've had to more or less rebuild themselves and find new ways of making money. To that end, I did want to ask though, have you been doing either hosting or watching a lot of streaming shows?
I have been watching. I haven't really done any, just because I have the equipment, but I don't really have the space. Like sonically, it might not sound the best. So it's something I looked into, but you know, as life happens, I have made some videos, like some YouTube content and stuff, but, I've looked into it. It's something I'd like to do. I haven't really had the full opportunity to pursue it yet, which is more so on me than anything else.
I've watched some, streaming shows, but it's just isn't the same, you know? And there's no amount of like attempts to recreate the feeling of being at a show that can like make this work.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it's the volume, you know, the volume of the music, the sensory experience.
Yeah, exactly.
And meeting other people at the show. Like every time I've gone to a concert, I've met some totally rad people, some that, you know, you stay in touch with, some you don't, but you know, we're all there for the same purpose.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, you know, eventually this will end and we'll be able to, you know, go back out to shows again. Are there any particular venues in your area that you're like just dying to go to, either to watch a show or to play?
Yeah. And that's another thing that I've been worried about, like, you know, being out of the loop and with everything that's going on, like which venues are left? Like, you know, Pittsburgh is a huge market for us. And there's a lot of amazing venues in Pittsburgh. And I think half of them I've been told are closed now, like permanently. Baltimore has some great ones, like Auto Bar. There's a cool, like, dingy dive bar called, it's in Fells Point. Sorry, the name escapes me, but it's sort of like a CBGB kind of vibe. And then Pittsburgh, you know, Thunderbird Cafe and Stage AE and Smiling Moose. And, like, I miss it all, really. Club Cafe.
We really had the same thing happen around where I am in Boston. A number of venues have just basically shut down, you know, because they just couldn't get the money or their landlords didn't want to, you know, keep things going. So we've had a number of venues closed down, but the hope is that they can find a way to come back either in like a new spot or maybe trying to get back to the old spot. So it's, I think right now it's kind of a lot of hope that, you know, things can kind of ramp up a little more quickly and we can get some shows happening.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, what's next for you? What can people look forward to in the near future?
We are working on some new recordings. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to the experimental thing, we kind of use this time to really like go for it. You know, even just messing around with like metal riffs and, you know, just kind of seeing what can come from, you know, because you can write a metal song that could turn into a folk song real quick. But as of now, the plan is to start booking maybe summer, late spring, summer. Like I said, each state is different, and I've not been vaccinated yet because I live in Pennsylvania. I'm not at risk, so hopefully I'll be able to do that within 2 or 3 weeks. And then we'll just, I mean, really just playing it by ear.
Certainly, Brandon, good talking to you again. Definitely good to kind of catch up, and definitely hoping that you can get back on the road and play some shows again.
Yeah, I want to actually come up to New England. I have family up there. I used to live in Rhode Island, so I haven't been there in many years. And I know they have a great scene, so it's definitely on the list.
They have an amazing scene. It's really surprising that I think that a lot of folks just don't know about it, but like the Providence and Pawtucket areas have some amazing venues, and it's my sincere hope that they all can survive this thing and still, you know, keep going when the time comes. But in the meantime, where do folks go to learn more about the band and to see what you have going on?
So social media is probably the best right now. We're in the middle of redesigning a website. Mm-hmm. So it's Facebook is at Thieves and Lovers, fully spelled out. Same with Instagram. Twitter is Thieved N, as in Nancy Lovers. That was the weird. I don't know why I chose Nancy. And then Spotify and Bandcamp.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Brandon, good to hear back from you. Hope you you stay safe, and definitely looking forward to what comes next.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you very much.
All right, folks, that brings this episode to a close. You can follow the show on Facebook under Citywide Blackout and Twitter and Instagram under Citywide Max. Listen to the show on Podbean, Spotify, Amazon Music, TuneIn, and every Saturday at 10 p.m. on Boston Free Radio. To close things out, I've got two songs from Thieves and Lovers, Conversations Kill and Stolen. As always, keep those ears open.
Stay. You bleed through your disguise. Don't look down now, it's just you and me. Hold it close to you, don't complicate it. And if it's torn to pieces, why break it? Underneath, it won't fade.